digital revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak and sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side of the moon.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hello, this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy, hit it, buddy, hit it, buddy.
Well, folks, welcome back in. Good to have you with us. We start a brand new week, and I hope everyone had a great weekend. As we move right back into the, what they call it in baseball, the dog days of August coming up pretty soon. But guess what? Summer's pretty nice as we look around the country. And every so often, as you know in this program, we're going to cross a consumer-type issue that has consequence for not just the consumer involved, but also for the rest of us. And this one takes the cake. And you're going to be intrigued by this. In fact, arguably, depending on how it turns out, because it's not over yet, it could become a TV movie. It's about an individual, a woman, who had medical services performed by a major medical institution. And it's about a cover-up. It's almost as if this were the movie The Verdict with Paul Newman. As far as I can tell, and which I think was a great movie, by the way, and this sounds just like that, to say the least. We're here with Ron Perry, who is the attorney for the patient, now his client, and we'll keep the names anonymous, but Mr. Perry is here to talk about the tangible specifics of this case. Mr. Perry, thanks for being with us. How are you, sir? Let me try it one more time. Do we have Ron Perry with us?
Ron Perry's here.
Oh, there you go. How you are? How you doing? Good to have you with us.
Good. Is this Mike?
It is. We're on the air now. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I am. Should I lift it up?
I wish you would. We're on radio, not having a private conversation.
Okay. Just a minute. I'm going to pick it up. I push this off here. Here we are.
I appreciate that very much. A landline with clarity is very important. Anyway.
Yes.
Well, let's talk for a moment here about your practice of law. You practice in the Seattle, Washington area, but this case has, in my opinion, national consequences for every consumer of health care in the country in terms of the way it's been handled by this major institution. But this is medical malpractice. Now, is that primarily what you do, is medical malpractice?
Well, probably about 65% to 70% of what I do is healthcare-related. Medical malpractice is what you'd call it, okay? Yes.
All right, now,
mostly in the state of Washington.
All right, but given that, before we get into the specifics of this case, How would you rank this case in terms of the chutzpah of the institution we're going to... I won't name the institution, but for the moment, how would you rank the way in which this institution has been blocking cooperation on every level of this case?
I would use the word shocking. I'm not easily shocked. In this case, the records were the records themselves. Not only the negligent acts and the poor care, but the that was given and given over three hospitalizations, but the fact that records were illegally, her medical records were illegally and wrongfully retrieved by the negligent nurse, and the records from the day of the incident, this arterial puncture, were changed. Have and they you, deny it.
We'll get to the specifics of the medical lack of care, but have you ever seen the movie The Verdict?
Yes, Paul Newman.
It
was a good movie, and it was touching.
Is there any similarity of that to this?
The answer is yes, because in that there was, as you might know, an altered or not produced record that changed the scope of the case. And the hospital knew about it, and the hospital was unrepentant and really unapologetic about this incident. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And John Voight is terrific, and Paul Newman, obviously, and wonderful cast. But in any event, now you have the reality of that. Let me ask you this. What we're going to talk about here in terms of cover-ups, obstruction of justice, obstruction of evidence, withholding evidence by this institution, is that something that you've run across before? Should people around the country listening right now be concerned that that kind of behavior that we're going to describe here could happen to them and an institution of medical care they deal with at some point in the future?
Yes, the answer is that it might happen to them. It will happen to them if they get into a beef, an argument, or a lawsuit, or a negligence situation, because the doctors, the nurses, and the hospitals, and their lawyers, and their insurers circle the wagon, and it's almost an impenetrable circle defense. And you seldom get, I really hate to say it, because you seldom get the truth, and you seldom get all the records. You may be ultimately be able to settle the case or win it at trial, but it's after a bruising battle that the issues of honesty, integrity, and being straightforward are on the line every day.
Now, the institution that you're suing is Swedish Hospital, correct? One of the defendants is Swedish Hospital.
Yes, and they're sort of owned, I've never figured it out, by Providence Hospital System, which is much larger. So they're sort of operated the same with the same risk managers and same executive offices. Exactly what their relationship is, I'm not sure.
Even at this point. So let me ask you this. Is Providence Hospital national in nature?
It's Western United States.
Okay. And, so it's not Denver, just in one community. It's in a number of different states then. Is that correct?
Yes, Western states, and it's very prominent in the state of Washington.
Now, is it conceivable that prior to their takeover of this Swedish hospital, which had an impeccable reputation over the years, so far as I know, that the policies have changed, and that when Swedish Hospital was a local hospital, that it might have acted differently than now that Providence has taken over a multi-state organization that has different kinds of policies, circle the wagons, or would Swedish have done the same thing on its own?
Well, to be honest with you, this level of shenanigans, if you will, I have never really encountered from Swedish, and I've been involved with them many times over the years, and with Providence, frankly. This is the first time recently that this had occurred, and I think it's related to they got new management, new policies. They had a look at the economics a little carefully. They decided to handle these cases with a harder edge, and that took some brazen activity.
So it's possible that prior to the Providence takeover, since your previous experience was more acceptable, that maybe Swedish would have acted differently on its own.
I like to think so. You know, I go to Swedish. I mean, most of us in town do. And I think, you know, by and large, you do get good care there. They're good doctors, and they get good care. But everyone certainly needs someone looking over their shoulder, a guardian, so to speak.
Absolutely. So that, yeah, that's the other point I was going to make. I made a statement that, to my knowledge, it had an excellent reputation. Putting
yes, it has with me. I just want to be clear.
Yeah. Okay. So putting this case aside, if this case never came up, if somebody asked you about going to Swedish, you would recommend it highly.
Still, yeah. I mean, you know, with all the patients they deal with, only a small percentage of them result in unanticipated or negligent injuries, and it's how they handle those that becomes important, frankly.
Okay, now we're going to get to a break, but one other point I need to make, because this is vital. The husband of your client, the patient at Swedish, is a medical doctor with the decades of work in the same community and has benefits or is able to work with Swedish Hospital in Seattle. Is that correct?
Yes, remarkable. He is a highly regarded medical doctor with practice privileges at Swedish, which also mystified and still mystifies us why a man of his wife, the wife of a man of his stature, would have gotten treated this way, both as the with the quality of care and never an apology or an explanation. God, you can imagine what the average working Joe would get treated.
Oh, shit.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and dark matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Welcome to Area 52.
I do believe the government is covering something up.
I got it on tape! I got it!
The best of Dark Matters Radio with your host, the legendary Don Ecker, currently being held for questioning in Area 52.
And that was a real shock, because it was not part of the original description of our project. It was way better than that.
No wonder we can't find it.
The Naughty Woods Show comes to you every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Then again every Saturday at 1 p.m.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh,
don't miss it, or you will get your spankings.
Norton. Norton.
Hello, friends. It's me, Kendra.
And Hannah.
Listen to our show,
Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network. Don't worry about me. Worry about your eyebrows.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Now we're back at it, folks. Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel in as we move along, talking about a specific consumer case. And as you know, many times we'll take one case of an individual and extrapolate to the general population where anybody could be victimized. And the key point that our guest, Ron Perry, who's a medical malpractice attorney, made is that, in fact, in this case, his client, a woman, is married to a highly prominent physician in their community who has privileges at the hospital that is the defendant in this case for harming his wife, and they still are protecting against releasing information. So let's go to the specifics. Let me read from your letter, Mr. Perry, dated June 4th of this year. You say in the letter, a Swedish hospital vascular access nurse, her name is Janet Lowers, L-O-W-E-R-S, negligently punctured the brachial artery of her left upper arm while trying multiple times to place a PICC line in the basilic vein for access to her heart for administration of antibiotic medication. Neither Nurse Lowers nor the attending Swedish hospital physician, Dr. Adam Corson, C-O-R-S-O-N, explained the risks of this PICC placement or inquired which arm she wanted to use and put at risk, and otherwise failed to obtain her written and witness-informed consent to place this PICC using her dominant left arm. By itself, that sounds very damaging. You got a doctor and a nurse basically acting medically, at least the nurse, medically negligently, and now they're trying to cover it up. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. The PICC line is, they call it a PICC line. That's a line that goes into your arm where they can deliver antibiotics directly into the heart for pumping around the body to fight an infection. And it's put into the upper arm, either the right or the left, in a vein that's not pressurized, and threaded above the heart for administration of antibiotics. In this case, I think I told you, she... the first one didn't go in and never explained why she couldn't get it in. The second one, apparently, if you can believe the records, is when she punctured the artery and blood flew all over the room. Because it's under pressure. Arteries are pressurized. Veins are not. A puncture of a vein, it just dribbles, like when you pick your finger with a needle. But with the artery, it punctured all over. Then she did it a third time and apparently got it in the third time, but it hadn't stopped the bleeding, and it kept bleeding internally, creating what they call a pseudoaneurysm, or a sac of blood beneath the skin that continued to grow over the next days because it was continued to bleed, and put pressure on her upper arm nerves that led to her hand and fingers, resulting in a permanent disability of her left dominant hand and fingers. That's her injury. It will never get better. It's been 3 years.
Now, by the way, just as an aside, I would suggest when you retire from the practice of law, you get to take up the practice of medicine the way you sound.
Well, I've grown to love this, and my little cubby holes of medicine that I learn, I try to learn them quite well.
You have. All right, so now... Look, the Swedish hospital medical records were reviewed by your vascular access nurse expert. You hired an expert, basically, a woman named Nancy Moreau, with all kinds of certifications. She's a practicing vascular nurse, national PICC line educator. She said that Nurse Lowers, the woman who put this line into your client's arm and caused there to be a gusher like an oil well of blood, though, instead of oil. I mean, there are a total of about 13 different acts of negligence that this nurse found on the part of the practicing nurse who was dealing with your client. Failure to recognize arterial access with the needle puncture, failure to adequately compress and follow up on the arterial injury. I can't read them all. We don't have time for that. But there are 13 separate acts of negligence by that nurse. Am I correct?
That's correct. And we had we took it to more than one expert. This is the expert we decided to need because you can really only use one expert in a particular area. But we got the same reading from three different experts.
All right. So, in other words, do you have the record of each of the three experts separately and independently?
Yes.
So, therefore, none of the three knew each other were doing this. All three, unknown to the other two, came to the same conclusion as the nurse I just referred to.
They were independent. We also had it reviewed by two doctors.
But the findings were the same with all three independently then, right?
Yes, they were.
All right, so, I mean, if you go to court, that's pretty powerful stuff. So we've established the negligence. Now, what was the condition your client went to Swedish Hospital for? What was the condition?
She had an infection going on. She had had a previous elective surgery that was not an issue in this thing, but she'd got an infection, okay? And she went into the hospital because her doctors suggested she go in and she was not feeling very well, and they decided to, instead of doing oral antibiotics, they decided to do this direct access antibiotic to quickly solve the problem.
Was it supposed to be intravenous?
Yes, intravenous rather than intra-arterial.
Right, because you explain arterial explodes the blood, and the intravenous is more calm.
Yeah, well, you see it in the movies of a stab wound and the blood squirting up in the air and mash, and stuff. That's actually what happens. Okay, the blood comes out under pressure. I'm not sure what the pounds per square inch is, but it's quite a bit of pressure.
So she went in for an infection,
yes.
and then had this problem.
Yes.
Now, before we get to the cover-up, the obstruction of justice and all of that, what happened subsequently? In other words, you would think that somebody and an institution that has the care of a person's life in their hands would behave to correct the problem instantaneously. I mean, I've gone through, and not even with medical personnel, but just in life. For example, I knew of a case on the air years ago when Sears Roebuck had automobile repair shops. One of my listeners called and said that the petcock, the screw at the bottom after you do an oil change, had not been put back on by the mechanic at Sears after an oil change. So the guy drives out, all the oil leaks out, and he has to replace the engine. Sears paid for the engine. They acknowledged they had screwed up, that the mechanic forgot to put the petcock back in to secure the oil to lubricate the engine.
Very honorable.
Yeah, right. But in this case, you would think they would want to bend over backwards to correct the problem. I'm stunned that a major institution would say, basically, screw you. We're not going to do a thing for you. And they're going to act against the patient's interest. Is that correct?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is correct. And if you drive by Swedish Hospital now, which I did yesterday and took a picture, outside, a huge banner, so they got a program going now. It says Swedish Hospital, and it says, exceptional care, exceptional caring. Now, you know, generally speaking, I'm not arguing with that, except it didn't happen here. And to be honest with you, the hospital, after this occurred, never explained what happened to her. Not only didn't offer an apology, but we now know, never did an investigation of why or how this occurred or how to prevent it. We do know that the nurse is no longer working at the hospital, but they wouldn't tell us why.
Okay, well, you know what? I mean, you're going to get that in discovery. That's called subsequent remedial action, isn't it? Which is admission of the problem in the first place, right?
There, too.
Well, is that, am I correct?
So we will get that eventually, okay?
I appreciate that. We'll come right back, and we'll pick it up before we left off. Ron Perry is with us on the case. Stay with us.
You're weak. and sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and dark matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side of the moon.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberstationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson-Jones inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson-Jones.
And yes, of course, the legends. Every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Only here
on CyberstationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
Hello, friends. It's me, Kendra.
And Hannah.
Listen to our show, Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network.
Don't worry about me. Worry about your eyebrows.
Hey there, girlfriend. How have you been? It's so nice to see you again.
This may be our last chance to provide the means of saving civilization from annihilation.
There's much we can learn from each other.
One of those moments in history.
We are all together out on the internet.
Can there be a peace between us?
You were an eyewitness.
The people who grew up with the technology.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
A worldwide broadcasting system.
This is for you. For my life.
Please keep in touch.
Welcome to Area 52.
I do believe the government is covering something up.
I got it on tape! I got it!
The best of Dark Matters Radio with your host, the legendary Don Ecker, currently being held for questioning in Area 52.
And that was a real shock because it was not part of the original description of our project. It was way better than that.
No wonder we can't find it.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
CyberStationUSA.com.
terrestrial radio is basically going to be supplanted by what's happening in technology. Think about this.
We're talking about something tremendous.
This is a revolution.
This is CyberStation USA.
Welcome back in, folks. Good to be here as we continue our conversation with Ron Perry, who is a medical malpractice attorney, for the most part at least, and has a case that has a huge consequence. As I said, it could be a TV movie, could be a 60 Minutes piece. It's about a highly respected medical institution, Swedish Medical Center, has been taken over by a larger institution in some kind of relationship, and has a policy now that is anti-consumer. If you take the one case we're talking about, a woman who's been harmed permanently by malpractice from a nurse who no longer works for the hospital, but the hospital refuses to turn over the records. And let me just say before we continue, we had a point at the end of the last segment, Mr. Lowy, that I think has to be cleared up. And that is that subsequent remedial action is something that occurs when an organization commits negligence of some sort, and then they correct the problem later. By definition, that's called, then they should do this, is correcting the problem after the fact by firing this woman, if they did. At least she's no longer at the hospital. Is that not a form of subsequent remedial action that is an admission that there was a problem if she's been separated from the hospital?
Well, that whole concept of subsequent remedial actions is a kind of a complicated evidentiary matter. But to the layman, if you have the source of a problem as a particular person and you fire them, I think you answer your own question, okay? The problem in this case is they never really did an investigation and into their system and as to why this would have happened, to prevent other nurses from happening it. And so the nurses and doctors are not clueless when something happens, if you will, okay? So the fact that the administration of the hospital is rather arrogant towards patients and lawyers, basically, we don't have to pay attention, we don't have to apologize, we don't have to explain, which is really quite true. Even in the context of a lawsuit, they don't really have to. So that's the conundrum facing patients often with the institutional medical businesses, okay?
Well, but I think the point is that if you take an action after the fact of something happening that went wrong, and that action alleviates the wrongdoing that occurred in the first place for future protections, then it would seem to me, at least, that that's a form of admission that, yeah, there was something that went wrong here and we're going to correct it.
Well, and we hope to be able to get that very fact into evidence, but so the judge has to rule on it. But I think it's critically apparent if you cut out the cancer, you're solving the problem, right?
That's the point. All right, let me go on to your letter, because we'll get to the point about the lack of cooperation from the hospital. You say, and we're not going to name the patient, but you say, and the patient, for those who tuned in late, her husband has been a prominent medical doctor in the community where this occurred for decades, and also has privileges at the very institution that is now shunning his wife, who was the victim of their malpractice. And it's astonishing that they would do this. But anyway, you say in your letter that the patient consulted Dr. Richard Cerisi, a non-Swedish hospital board-certified physiatrist, who on August 3rd, 2012, that's 16 days after the negligence took place by the nurse, personally conducted a simple office ultrasound of the patient's left upper arm to the elbow and identified an unusual mass by the arterial puncture site made by Swedish nurse Lowers 3 weeks earlier. So, in other words, apparently this independent doctor, an expert, found a problem at the very site where the woman, the nurse, had committed the malpractice. Is that correct?
Oh, that's exactly true. Where she put the needle in is where the sac of blood was, the aneurysm, and where the pressure was on the nerves that really deadened her hand and, paralyzed two or three fingers. So yes, and it was found by an outside doctor. You got to understand, she went back three times to the hospital and the emergency clinic, and they did tests. I'm not saying they didn't, but no one checked her upper arm at all. And one of the reasons they didn't is the nurse initially did not write in the record clearly that there was a major arterial puncture and that needed to be followed up. So that complication, and that's what's called a complication, all of which should be documented in the record, all of which should be in the progress notes, and all of which should be in the discharge summary, so the next doctor and the next nurse downstream will know what happened last time they were there, so they can have it in their minds as far as a differential diagnosis of the source of the problem. Her negligence continued down the line, and frankly, she set the other doctors up for their failure. They were largely clueless. It was really surprising because no one even suspected it until Dr. Cerusi, the outside physiatrist that she went to for care, found this. And then it was solved. It wasn't solved. It was approached surgically, but it was too late. This would have easily been solvable, 10 days earlier even. So she was seen by over 30 healthcare providers at Swedish, nurses and doctors, in those three admissions, and no one discovered the source of her neurologic problem in her arm.
Yeah, and in fairness to some of those medical professionals, it was this one toxic nurse, Lowers, who hid the problem. So therefore, nobody knew to even look for a problem after that point. Would that be a fair statement?
That is a fair statement. That's how I look at it. He set the doctors up for themselves to never suspect. And the arterial puncture was the source of this neurological problem. So her negligence set them up for failure too, okay? Which is something the hospital ought to be very concerned with as far as their system working well, okay? Documentation, being transparent, telling the other care providers and the records, writing in the records what happened, what care was given, what complications there were. So,
all right, so let me go to one sentence that summarizes this. You say in your letter to the hospital, as the defendant, Nurse Lowers figured she would bury the arterial perforation complication and no one would find it. We're talking there about, isn't that a criminal act to do that?
Well,
if you prove that the person intentionally hid medical malpractice or medical negligence, is that not a criminal act in the same way obstruction of justice is a criminal act?
That's an interesting concept. Not being a criminal lawyer, it'd be hard for me to comment on that specifically as the crime. But it certainly is a cover-up, is borderline fraud, and it certainly was not an attempt to be forthcoming with the records. And you know what? The hospitals knew about it. The hospital knows about it. They've got the records.
I know, but you see, but the point would be she was working for the hospital, and this was not outside her scope of duty. The nurse was working within her scope of duty, being supervised by the hospital itself, so then the hospital becomes culpable for her bad behavior, and what I would argue is obstruction of justice and withholding of evidence. And by the way, changing evidence. We'll get to that in the next segment. But she also changed the records, did she not?
Yes, she did.
So we're talking about, if that's not criminal, what is?
I'd like to say it was criminal because it feels that way. These records should not be tampered with. Justice should not be obstructed. Honesty, and particularly under oath, should prevail, but it doesn't always do that.
Well, you know what? I think in the case that you're talking about, and we have a national audience, but the prosecutor in your county is a fellow named Dan Satterberg, and I've known him for many years, and I'd be happy to go with you to see him and see whether he would be willing to prosecute on criminal grounds.
We have been thinking about it, and Dan Satterberg is a wonderful prosecutor, just so you know, we're on the same page.
Okay, so if you know him, then you don't need me. You could go talk to him and see whether he'd be willing He's got great integrity, and he's down the middle. If something like this has happened, and there are laws that were violated, criminal laws, I think the prosecutor, because then this hospital is going to have to come clean. If they're going to wind up with criminal charges that wind up being provable, and there are criminal fines, and maybe somebody going to jail, they got a bigger problem than they want to deal with. We'll come right back on that point, Mr. Perry. Stay right there if you would. Ron Perry is with us. He's a medical malpractice attorney.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberStationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and dark matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson-Jones inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson-Jones.
And yes, of course, the Legends, every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberStationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
Friends, is me, Kendra,
and Hannah.
Listen to our show,
Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network. Don't worry about me, worry about your eyebrows.
Hey there, old friend, how have you been? It's so nice to see you again.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future of radio.
The future of radio.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question, but there's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Catch us weekdays at 6 p.m. on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson-Jones inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson-Jones.
And yes, of course, the Legends, every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberStationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at Cameo at CyberStationUSA.com.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Terrestrial radio is basically going to be supplanted by what's happening in technology. Think about this.
We're talking about something tremendous.
This is a revolution.
This is CyberStation USA.
And we're back with you, folks. Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel here as we get back to our conversation, and it is one that is very troubling. I want to repeat one point, Mr. Perry. Ron Perry is with us, a medical malpractice attorney, and that is that the patient's husband is, to my knowledge, about 30 years, or more than that, I'm sure, but at least 30 years, a medical doctor in the market, in the community in which Swedish Hospital operates, and he has privileges at that hospital. It's inexplicable that they would cause this kind of oppressive, distorted behavior toward a patient who's the wife of that physician. Can you explain that?
Not only can I explain it, indirectly, they're blaming him for this. They're saying that since he was her wife, he should have known that she was getting poor treatment and intervened.
Well, you know what? I mean, listen, you know as well as I do. The first thing I learned in law school, the attorney who has himself as a client is a fool. You don't represent your family as an attorney or as a doctor. You don't treat a patient. You stay out of it. You let the professionals who are objective and detached take care of it. He shouldn't be involved in that, right?
That's right. And he thought she was, you know, he presumed she was getting good care. If for no other reason than she was a patient without a big deal problem, and her husband was a doctor, but didn't turn out that way.
All right, so now you say in your letter, almost 3 years have now passed, when you wrote this letter in June, almost 3 years have now passed, and there's no significant improvement in the patient's disabled left-hand arterial and neurological injury, which was totally treatable early on because it became a permanent disability, but was totally treatable early on. You go on to say that Dr. Richard Cerussi did a deposition where he says in that deposition that he criticizes the negligent care received by the patient at Swedish Hospital and also by Seattle radiologists, as well as by the nature and extent of her permanent injury, 60% of her left upper arm extremity and 36% total body impairment, according to the AMA guidebook to evaluating permanent impairment, 5th edition. The patient's median nerve damage has totally disabled her fingers of her left hand, making it impossible to do such simple things as sew, tie her shoes, and play with her grandchildren, which is a good way to touch the hearts of people with the grandchildren.
All true, Mike.
So, let me ask you this. The records have been doctored. Why do you think a hospital of the credibility of this one, which has had this physician having privileges at that hospital, which has behaved over the years, at least we think, with high integrity, why would they risk all of that in this case? Is the insurance company driving this position? Is the parent company driving this position? What do you make of it?
I think it's a change in management. I think much of it is a monetary decision. Money wins out over character and integrity and medicine quite often. And I think that this change in policy that is financially driven has resulted in a form of medical arrogance towards the patient, towards consumers, that they simply do not have to answer questions about what went wrong. When a patient really has a right to know, when a patient asks if something goes wrong and they ask what happened, I'm sure it's never happened to you, but I can tell you what happens is everybody clams up. Oh, we don't know. Ask this person, or they won't even return your call. You get no real explanation. And all I can tell you, and I think you can identify with this, if this happened to my wife, to my kid, or to me, I wouldn't be very happy. I'd want some answers. But even though we filed a lawsuit, we've got no answers.
Now, let me ask you about that, because you dropped the first lawsuit and refiled a second.
Yes.
What happened with the first lawsuit, and why did you file a second?
Well, the first lawsuit, we were coming up to trial, and the defendants were pointing the finger or suggesting that Seattle, the radiologist, actually, had they acted properly, and not been negligent, that the whole problem could have been solved 10 days earlier, even if the hospital was negligent, okay? It's called last clear chance. In other words, assuming the doctor, the nurse was negligent, and the hospital was negligent, had the radiologist properly read a certain x-ray of her, not an x-ray, an MRI of her upper arm, he would have seen that there was a large sac there right over the median nerve that was clearly the reason for the problem. The doctor read the x-ray, and I can tell you I can see it, okay? I'm not a radiologist. You could see it. It's attached to my – it's filed with the court and attached to my letter. But they he didn't call it out. He didn't see it. Had he called it out – the patient's other doctors said, well, had I known there was a median nerve compression in her upper arm, regardless of the source.
Okay, you know, let me give you one that you might have gotten on the multi-state bar exam as I did, because it reminds me of this. The question, literally, the question on my bar exam was, okay, there's a guy on the 37th floor of a tower. John Jones pushes him out the window. He's falling to the ground. On the 16th floor, James Smith pulls out a revolver and shoots the guy falling. Who committed murder?
I remember that.
So you know, that's what they're trying to say. The fact is, their nurse committed the first negligence. So the radiologist may have been negligent in not finding the problem, but they wouldn't have had a problem to find if the first negligence had not occurred by Swedish Hospital's nurse, right?
Right, that's right. Mike, did you practice law too?
I used to.
yeah. I mean, it's clearly you're thinking those are some of the conundrums, the legal bends of the law. But the first person that starts the ball rolling that injures a person is primarily responsible. But under our tort system in this state, within the last 10 years, anyone who also contributed fault to the tragedy, like the death, could also be held liable, and the jury can award or apportion negligence.
Sometimes there's comparative negligence, and sometimes it's contributory.
Yeah, they don't use the word contributory anymore, but they say comparative negligence. In other words, the person that shot the falling body,
yep,
a jury might or could, or the defendants could ask them to apportion some fault, okay, because maybe he wouldn't have died. So the bull really figured, so it becomes a jury issue, sort of. Well, you asked me why we dismissed it. I had to join Seattle, the radiologist, and the judge wouldn't let me join him, declined my motion to join him. So we were forced to dismiss it, that action, and refile. And when I refiled, I also joined the radiology group. So now all the people that contributed to fault are before the court.
All right, so now we have 2 minutes. So where is the case at this moment?
The case at this moment is filed. It's set for trial in early 2016. The defendants have filed their answers, and I've just read them, got them yesterday, and basically denied everything that is in the complaint. Every single paragraph and every fact has been denied, except the names of the plaintiffs and the parties. So that's where we are, and that's how it is. And that's
you know, one thing I have to mention, Mr. Perry, that the audience needs to understand, because we see a lot of stuff on TV about legal cases. In this case, at least my assumption is, it's preponderance of the evidence because it's a civil trial. The jury just has to believe by 51% of the evidence that you're correct. Is that right?
That is correct under the law.
So therefore, you have a much lesser burden than if this were a criminal case. And I think with the testimony of the doctor and the expert nurse who went through the 13 areas of negligence of the nurse at Swedish Hospital, I think, frankly, I think Swedish Hospital will wind up suing their attorneys for malpractice for not settling this case.
Let me tell you something. You know, the issue of preponderance of negligence, that's true. And in criminal cases, it's a higher standard, beyond a reasonable doubt. However, in medical cases, the juries are very, and judges in the courts are very favorable to doctors and nurses because they are. They want to believe they didn't do anything negligent. So these kinds of cases are much harder than like an auto accident case. Okay?
Yeah, it would be like in many of these cases where, for example, Darren Wilson, the police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, he was correct and the jury let him off properly, but police are given that same kind of latitude as well.
Yes, and I got to tell you, here, I do what I do.
We got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I give doctors the benefit of the doubt and myself.
Well, I agree with you. But in this case, you've got so much evidence, it'd be stunning to me that you wouldn't win. And this hospital is going to wind up with a very serious problem because they refuse to settle quietly. Mr. Perry, I thank you very much. You're doing a great service in this case, and you've done a great service on this program. People should be aware of their own rights when they go to a hospital or a doctor and be aware that, guess what, these people commit medical malpractice sometimes. Thank you, sir. Great to have you on the program.
I want you on my jury, Mike.
I'll be there. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us. Mike Siegel. Back with more in the next hour.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson Jones, inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson Jones.
And yes, of course, the legends, every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberStationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Hello, friends, it's me,
Kendra, and Hannah. Listen to our show, Chaotic Hangout, on CyberStation USA Radio Network.
Don't worry about me. Worry about your eyebrows.
Hi, we're Two Mics on the Mic, inviting you to check out the yearbook.
Every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on CyberStationUSA.com.
Every week, we bring you a different year in music history.
Along with a car commercial and a movie clip, it's awesome fun.
This Saturday night, 9 p.m., only on CyberStationUSA.com. See you next year!
This is CyberStation USA.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberStationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at Cameo at CyberStationUSA.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and dark matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hello, this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy, hit it, buddy, hit it, buddy.
Folks, welcome in. Good to have you with us as we get back into our conversation. And it is a conversation that deals with a very troubling issue. And when I say troubling, I mean for not just the United States, but for the world community. And I think we should all be very concerned about it. It is the deal that Barack Obama and John Kerry cut with Iran that really gives them the kitchen sink. Gives them whatever they wanted, whatever they needed, whatever they would agree to. And we backed away in an embarrassing agreement with Iran. First of all, they have up to 24 days before they have to allow any inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency even into the country. That's number one. Number two, they're allowed to keep the nuclear capability they've already built and allowed to develop their conventional weapons as well, which had nothing to do with this agreement originally, but the conventional weapons are part of the deal. And it is, in my view, an absolutely distraught time for us and ominous time for Israel. We are joined by Josh Block. He is the president of the Israel Project, They are a group that is out there as an advocacy group for Israel. They put out a great deal of information about the Middle East, and he's here to respond to this troubling situation. Josh, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, mate. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Well, it's good to talk, but not under these circumstances, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I feel a little bit like I'm at a funeral. Good to see you, but terrible circumstances indeed. So this disagreement that the administration acceded to today is in such direct contrast to the things they told us they were going to deliver, it's hard to believe. You know, this underground enrichment bunker where the Iranians on a military base buried under a mountain, or they built it just for the right size to enrich for a nuclear weapon but not for a nuclear reactor, they get to keep it, even though they told us they would shut it down. That's just one example of things.
Well, they're also going to be able to develop their conventional weapons, which they can send around the Middle East, causing trouble in the neighborhood over there, too.
It is. Well, you know, just stepping back, this is not a disarmament agreement. It's an arms control agreement, right? You know, we were told that the goal here was to take away from Iran the ability to develop nuclear weapons. Well, at the end of the day, the administration is going to give Iran $150 billion in cash, you know, lots of economic activity. It's going to reward them and entrench this regime. And what will happen at the end? They'll be left with everything they need to build nuclear weapons. If a three-month breakout time is a problem today, and the administration says it is, why is it that we're going to give them $150 billion to fuel their war machine and the terrorism? And by the way, they've killed more Americans than anybody but al-Qaeda. All this money in return for them having what the president says will be an almost zero breakout time in about 10 years. It makes no sense. It's a crazy thing to do.
Well, best case scenario, even if you accept the president at his terms, in 10 years they're going to have the capability anyway. And whether it's
That's
Israel
exactly
or anybody.
Right. So if we're 3 months from a bomb now, in 10 years they're 0 months from a bomb. And they have all this money, and they're back in the scene. And by the way, to your point, in 5 years the arms embargo gets lifted. In 8 years the prohibitions on their ballistic missiles get lifted. What's the only reason for an ICBM is to deliver a nuclear warhead? Why would we let them do that? It makes no sense. And by the way, today, the Secretary of State, the administration was asked, why is it that the head of the Iran Revolutionary Guard is being removed from the sanctions blacklist under this nuclear agreement? And they said, oh, no, he's not. Well, it turns out, in fact, he is. Either they lied or they didn't know. Either one is a horrible indictment. It just underscores how scary this agreement is.
Well,
the guy, Qasem Soleimani, the Quds Force, who went around killing American soldiers, thousands of American soldiers, with these liquid bombs, these liquid projectiles they were penetrating the personnel carriers with in Iraq. This is unbelievable.
And they're going to be able to get conventional weapons. So, I mean, they don't need nuclear weapons to go up against Iraq. As I recollect today, I think Kerry's point was that Iran can be a stabilizing force for Syria and Iraq. A stunning statement.
Insane. You know, Mike, ISIS and Iran are not enemies. They are rivals. In Syria, the Iranian regime, when you speak the word Syria today, you're saying Iran. When you say Assad, you're saying supreme leader. And if you go back a few years, the beginning of the uprising there, what Assad claimed was, hey, I'm not fighting everyday people. I'm fighting the terrorists. It wasn't true then, but in order to make it true, the Iranians helped the Syrians release all the terrorists they had in their jails, arrest everyone who was opposed to the regime, murder the moderates, and stoke up the presence of al-Qaeda, and then turned to them and started buying oil from al-Nusra and ISIS in order to enrich them and build them up as fighting forces. And in fact, ISIS does not actually fight the Assad regime or the Iranians in Syria. They're only fighting the other anti-regime forces.
According to
Robert Ford, who's our ambassador there.
We all know the Arab slogan, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, in other words, ISIS and Iran, as you say, are rivals. But when it comes to Israel or the United States, or getting control of the Middle East, they're going to go together to get it if they have to, and then work out dividing it up among them. But in the meantime, they're going to do what they have to do to get control.
Moreover, look, I would say the this nuclear agreement is a subset of a broader policy realignment that the president really is trying to execute without explaining it. He's trying to throw away 40-plus years of American elite alliances in the Middle East and telling us now we should hitch our star to the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world, and of course, you know, let alone stoning women for being raped, you know, hanging gays. This is a terrible regime. You know, and he suggests that they should be the force for stability in the Middle East, that we should attach our star to them. Now, the Middle East is divided in three, if you ask me. You got the Iran-Assad Hezbollah axis, right? That's the Shia extremists. And then you've got the Sunni extremists. That's ISIS and al-Nusra and al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. And it's supported, financed, primarily by Qatar and Turkey. So those two guys are like this, the flip side of the extremist coin. One Sunni, one Shia. The enemies of those folks are Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait, Israel, and the West and the rest of the world. And so this administration has so fundamentally screwed up the Middle East and its policy in that it has, instead of choosing the side of the moderates who are opposing the extremists in the Middle East, the Shia extremists, the Sunni extremists, who both want a caliphate. You know, it's the Iranians who say they control the capitals of four Arab capitals on their way to the Grand Jihad, take over more of the Middle East. Instead of opposing both of these forces, they're siding with the Iranians, creating a huge problem and turning their backs on all of these moderate states we've had these relationships with and turning their back on Israel. It's an insane choice.
Let me mention to you what, as you know, Netanyahu responded. He said Iran will get a jackpot, a cash bonanza of hundreds of billions, which will enable it to continue to pursue its aggression and terror. We've got 40 seconds before breaking. What about that?
Well, I mean, he's right. You know, this is you're handing over hundreds of billions of dollars to a regime that intends to use it to spread mayhem and murder all over the Middle East. And if we don't come to grips with that reality and have Congress reject this deal and go back and press for a better one, we're going to wind up in a day where, you know, a richer terrorist is no lesser a terrorist. He's a terrorist with more money.
Well, that's a great point. We'll come right back and have one more segment with you. Appreciate it, Josh. Josh Block, president of the Israel Project, very concerned, as you can tell, about this deal cut by the United States with Iran and the five other nations. And we'll get back, and I'll ask Josh to respond to some of the comments of Barack Obama on this issue and what he thinks about the president's points. We'll do all of that when we come back. Mike Siegel here. Good to have you with us. We'll get back to it on the other side.
You're weak, unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal.
Then you're into Don Ecker and dark matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is cyberstationusa.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Welcome to Area 52.
I do believe the government is covering something up.
I got it on tape! I got it!
The best of Dark Matters Radio with your host, the legendary Don Ecker, currently being held for questioning in Area 52.
And that was a real shock because it was not part of the original description of our project. It was way better than that.
No wonder we can't find it.
The Naughty Wood Show comes to you every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Then again every Saturday at 1 p.m.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh.
Don't miss it, or you will get your spankings.
Naughty. Naughty.
Hello, friends. Is me, Kendra.
And Hannah.
Listen to our show,
Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network. Don't worry about me. Worry about your eyebrows.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo at cyberstationusa.com.
Welcome back in, folks. Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel in as we move along. Josh Block is here, the president of the Israel Project, on the aftermath of this deal with Iran. All right, Josh, before I get to what the president said, let me ask you about specifically Israel, since that's your concern for many of us as well. Most Americans, in fact. How ominous is this deal for Israel, which has already said that we're going to do what we have to do, we're not bound by it?
Well, I mean, I think you just made the most important point. You know, the Israelis have demonstrated over the years their ability to defend themselves pretty effectively. They're an ingenious and quite talented group of folks. And I think, you know, this is a problem they've been concentrating on for some time. I think, you know, there's no doubt that at certain points the president and this administration leaned on them very heavily not to act in their own self-defense at times when they may have been able to do that more easily. But I think the question they ask themselves every day, yesterday, tomorrow, you know, the day after tomorrow, is tomorrow too late? Is tomorrow too late for them to effectively stop Iran's progress towards a nuclear weapon? And if the answer is yes, it's too late, then they have to make a very fateful decision. I don't think they feel they've reached that point yet, but there's no question that this is a very dangerous situation for them. You know, the Iranians say clearly that their goal is to destroy Israel. In fact, the morning that this agreement was being announced, this morning, the supreme leader of Iran posted on his website a picture of him walking over the Israeli flag and talking about how the Zionist entity will be erased and eradicated. These are not folks who are pretending. You know, it's American policy that the Israelis should be able to defend themselves by themselves against any threat or combination of threats that will present itself to them. And I'm quite sure that they'll with our help and with their own ingenuity, be able to make sure that that's the case if they feel like they need to act against the Iranians militarily or covertly.
Let me ask you about what the president said. A couple of things to Thomas Friedman, who I sometimes have questions about. But anyway, he told Mr. Friedman, quote, "We are not measuring the steel by whether it's changing the regime inside of Iran. We're not measuring the steel by whether we are solving every problem that can be traced back to Iran, whether we're eliminating all their nefarious activities around the globe. We are measuring this steel by Iran that Iran could not get a nuclear weapon." What about that?
Well, it's just false. You know, they told us for the last 2 years that the Iran's nuclear program was halted, in their words. You know, since these negotiations began, the Iranians have accumulated two more nuclear bombs worth of material. You know, they've built more centrifuges. Their plutonium track is closer to completion. They told us today that Qasem Soleimani, the head of the IRGC, is not in the deal. He is. Ben Rhodes, who's the president, the deputy national security advisor, was on television site on CNN telling people that they never sought anywhere, anytime inspections in Iran. Of course, that's a lie. Moniz and many other officials were quoted directly saying we expect to have and we need anywhere, anytime access to verify the agreement. On the prior military dimensions, the Iranians were supposed to come clean on the prior military dimensions, without which we can't really judge how close they are to building a nuclear weapon or where they are in that process. The administration abandoned that. They don't care. The reason they say they don't care is because it doesn't matter to their strategy. They say they're going to prevent Iran from accumulating the material to build a nuclear weapon. They're not going to do anything to remove from Iran any of the pieces, the tools they need to actually build nuclear weapons. So at the end of the agreement, they'll have everything they need, more technology, faster centrifuges, and they'll have basically zero breakout time. So the administration came to the conclusion that they couldn't coerce the Iranians to give up any piece of their project. We couldn't actually, the administration's view, do that. So they decided to bribe them to stay where they are for 10 years. So again, a richer terrorist is no lesser a terrorist. He's a terrorist with more money. But this administration seems to want to embrace these terrorists and believes that they will somehow turn into Japan in the next 10 years. It's a ludicrous and very dangerous concept, but we're handing over huge amounts of money to people who are the most dangerous wanton terrorists, criminals, and human rights abusers in the world. It's mind-boggling, frankly.
Well, it feeds into the those who would say the president's goal was always that Iran would be the major player in the Middle East, and that this would make them that by getting control of other countries in the Middle East. And when Iraq is supposed to be neutralized by Iran, what are you really saying? Or Syria? You're saying that, Iran already controls Syria, and they've got the Quds forces in Iraq. Suleiman is in Iraq. So they're taking over as we speak anyway.
Yeah, look, there's a reason that the head of the IRGC said we control four Arab capitals. He's talking about Lebanon, he's talking about Syria, he's talking about Iraq, and he's talking about Yemen. They're working on Sudan next. You know, this is a deliberate strategy by the Iranians to create regional hegemony. And when they have a nuclear weapons capability, they're much closer to getting it. You know, does Hezbollah act with less impunity when the Iranians are screws turned away from having a nuclear weapon? You know, of course not. And so you're ending up in a situation that is actually going to fuel nuclear proliferation in the Middle East, not reduce it. This deal is going to actually do the absolute opposite that President Obama told us it would do, which was make the world safer. In fact, it's going to guarantee a conflict between the Arab states and Iran and in the Middle East that is going to climb the nuclear escalation ladder. And rather than preventing proliferation, it's going to create it.
The president made the point to Friedman earlier tonight that this is by a wide margin the most definitive path by which Iran will not get a nuclear weapon. What do you say?
It just makes no sense. You know the Iranians, it is the president of Iran, Rouhani, who was the nuclear negotiator, who himself has said any country that can enrich uranium to 3.5% can make a nuclear weapon. There's a reason that the Iranians, held on to these programs and want to continue to advance centrifuge research so they can make a nuclear bomb not in 3 months, but in 3 days. You know, before these this round of negotiations began in September 2013, the Iranians were 6 months, from a balance of payments crisis, meaning complete economic bankruptcy and calamity. And rather than leveraging that economic power that we had over the Iranians to put them in a situation in which they needed to come to us in a negotiation and make real sacrifices, Obama pulled up short and decided to give them billions of dollars in order to pivot American foreign policy. He's not been completely transparent and honest about what's really taking place here until the last couple of days when you've heard him and Secretary Kerry talk about how Iran can be a force for stability. But this is an extremely naive and dangerous concept, and I think it's one that's going to come back to haunt the United States for some time. And it's why we need to hear from both Democrats and Republicans running for president about how they're going to handle this deal and this situation with Iran going forward.
Well, the bottom line is, we have about 50 seconds. Senate has to approve it. What do you make of a two-thirds override of a veto, House and Senate?
Well, I think there's no question that this deal is going to get rejected on the first time around. You know, it is by its face bad for America. And I think any elected official who wants to get elected again does not want to tie their future to a nuclear deal that's in like this. The president doesn't have to stand for re-election. He doesn't have to be accountable to anyone. But members of Congress certainly do. And this deal is very unpopular with Democrats and independents and Republicans. By, you know, 70-13 want to reject this deal, even if the president says it's a good one, because the Iranians are involved in these inspections. We don't get the chance to verify they're not cheating. It's just a bad deal, and Congress is going to reject it.
I look forward to Chuck Schumer. He has to take the lead, but on the Democrat side. Thank you, Josh. Great to talk to you again, unfortunately under tough circumstances. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Josh Block, president of the Israel Project. Mike Siegel here.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberStationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson Jones inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson Jones.
And yes, of course, the legends. Every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberStationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
Friends, is me, Kendra,
and Hannah.
Listen to our show, Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network.
Don't worry about me, worry about your eyebrows.
Hey there, old friend, how have you been? It's so nice to see you again.
This may be our last chance to provide the means of saving civilization from annihilation.
There's much we can learn from each other.
One of those moments in history.
We are all together out on the internet.
Can there be a peace between us?
You were an eyewitness.
The people who grew up with the technology.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
A worldwide broadcasting system.
This is for you, for my life.
Please keep in touch.
Welcome to Area 52.
I do believe the government's covering something up.
I got it on tape! I got it!
CyberStationUSA.com.
The best of Dark Matters Radio with your host, the legendary Don Ecker, currently being held for questioning in Area 52.
And that was
a real shock because it was not part of the original description of our project. It was way better than that.
No wonder we can't find it.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo at cyberstationusa.com.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Terrestrial radio is basically going to be supplanted by what's happening in technology. Think about this.
We're talking about something tremendous.
This is a revolution.
This is CyberStation USA.
Again, folks, good to have you with us. Back we are to continue along with the conversation. We are joined by Dr. Ravi Batra, well-known professor of economics at SMU, Southern Methodist University in Dallas. He's author of 5 international bestsellers and was also the chairperson of the department at SMU from 1977 to 80. I could go on and on with his resume, but he's here, and so let's take advantage of picking his brain a little bit. Dr. Batra, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on your show.
We had to delay you shortly, and I appreciate your flexibility because of the breaking story about Iran. We're going to get into the issue of Greece, but do you have any thoughts about the deal that was cut by the president with Iran?
My only thought is that it really is not necessary. Why alienate so many friends just to get a deal? That's my only thought. I'm not an expert on that.
Well, you know what? You probably just, you know, Abraham Lincoln did 23 lines in the Gettysburg Address, so sometimes shorter is better. You just capsulized it. I mean, that was without even realizing it, maybe. That's a pretty profound statement.
Why alienate your friends? I mean, what are you getting from it? That's what I'm looking at.
I hear you, and I understand. Well, let's get to this situation in Greece. It's a troubling situation. Look, let me start with one point that frankly annoys me, which is that Greece continues to be involved in what I consider to be an economic disease called socialism, meaning that the government is expected to take care of everything for everybody. So now in retirement, the retirees don't want their pensions cut, even though in this country, when United Airlines went Chapter 11, they cut pensions. We know that, in fact, almost eliminated them. We know that public entities, counties, cities, have also done the same in recent years. And that the reality is if you don't have the money, you can't spend it. And then you have this rather arrogant, smug, independent comment from the Greek government and the people who voted against the austerity measures required by the International Monetary Fund and the European Zone. They voted to reject it. Where do they think they're going to get the money to survive if the Eurozone and the European Bank say we're not going to fund you anymore? Where does that arrogance come from?
Well, they thought that the Eurozone cannot survive without them because the Euro might drop sharply or break up. But I think they're totally wrong. But your point that about socialism is very correct. But the question is, why do we need this socialism? In fact, this socialism is all over the world. All over the world, governments are spending money to prop up their economies. And so the question is, why is that needed? And the reason turns out to be that there is no free enterprise anymore. There are no free markets anymore. All you have are giant firms, oligopolies, They control wages, and there are so many mergers all over the world. So the result is that productivity is very high and wages are low. And high productivity creates high production. So supply is very high, but low wages means low demand. So supply is constantly in excess of demand. When supply exceeds demand, there's overproduction. Overproduction leads to layoffs and poverty. Now, so what the governments do, they create artificial demand through what you call socialism. Government spends a lot of money, and in the United States also, you have seen we have had the budget deficit, constant budget deficit since 2008 and even since 2001, and the debt has now jumped from about $1 trillion to $2 trillion to $17 trillion over the past 15 years. And the interesting part is that since 2007, we have created only 1.5 million jobs on the net.
That point about the United States, I want to get to, but I want the American people listening here to understand that the Greek problem is not someplace thousands of miles away, unaffecting us. Let me get to a specific point. And I'm going to make a statement. You tell me if I'm incorrect about it. My understanding is that American banks have invested money with banks in Europe, including banks that are in Greece, and that if these banks go under, what it then means is that those banks default, so they would default on any loans from American banks, and that means that the American banks, as happened in Latin America with some American banks, when loans just went away from some of those countries, that they're going to have to make up for their losses someplace. So what they would do is to then turn around and maybe charge the consumer an extra $10 a month per consumer for their checking account fee.
Oh, that's exactly my point. And by the way, I've written a whole book about this whole thing, how the banking industry makes up for its losses by overcharging the American consumer.
Well, so in other words, that's why. And by the way, it's American money. You have your money in an American bank, and if they run into a problem, it's conceivable, at least, that if it's a serious enough default by the banks in Europe who fund Greece, you could wind up with the American's bank winding up where they were in 2008, having to have bailouts from the government.
That's exactly right, and the reason why our credit card interest rates and other fees are so high is that the banks are trying to make up for their losses elsewhere. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. So productivity is very high because there is no free market, and wages are low. And this is the problem all over the world, including Greece.
So in other words, well, let me just make a point here. When you have jobs artificially created, most of the jobs created in this country are part-time jobs. They're not family wage jobs. Under Barack Obama, something like 75% of the jobs created are rather low-wage jobs. So it's not enhancing productivity in this country. But in Greece, they're running out of money. Let me ask you this question. The people rejected the requirements from the European Union, from the IMF, International Monetary Fund, from the Eurozone. They said, we don't want those austerity measures. So now, where are they going to get the money if they don't get it from those banks in Europe?
Well, that's the problem. Austerity is not the problem because there is no austerity. There's still plenty of government spending all over the world. Austerity is not the problem. The problem is lack of free enterprise. And that's what we need to do something about it. And once we do that, there will be no problem at all. In fact, no country will have a problem if we have free enterprise of the type I'm talking about. And that's what I've explained in my most recent book. And get the title, End Unemployment Now, How to Eliminate Joblessness, Debt, and Poverty Despite Congress.
That's all right, but let's talk about Greece. In Greece, they're not doing those things. And that guy, and look, even the prime minister came back to Greece trying to sell the package that he agreed to with the IMF and the European Union to the Greek parliament. And apparently the left wing in the Greek parliament and the right wing in the Greek parliament won't buy it. They're not interested in accepting the deal that the prime minister is trying to cut. So where do they go from there?
Well, I think the reason is that they will get another bailout, and then there will be more money spent, but no real jobs will be created. And so the debt already is very high, and they are going to get more into debt. If they get the bailout, they are in trouble. If they don't get the bailout, they're still in trouble. So it's really a very bad situation because of excessive spending in the past and waste of money in the past.
Well, so therefore, what they need to do now, I know we're going to break and come back, but let me leave you with this thought before we break. Austerity, to me, is part of the problem, because when you don't have money, like you or me, if the checking account says I have $8 in my checking account and I write a check for $20, guess what? It's not going to clear. Well, at some point, Greece is not going to clear. And then what do they do? So I want to ask you about that when we come back, because there is austerity required to spend only what you take in, and maybe then you start building productivity and jobs. We'll talk about that when we come back with Dr. Ravi Batra, Mike Siegel, and stay with us.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson-Jones inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson-Jones.
And yes, of course, the legends, every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberStationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
Hello, friends. It's me, Kendra.
And Hannah.
Listen to our show,
Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network. Don't worry about me. Worry about your eyebrows.
Hey there, girlfriend, how have you been? It's so nice to see you again.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
Future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question, but there's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Catch us weekdays at 6 p.m. on CyberstationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson-Jones inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson-Jones.
And yes, of course, the legends. Every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberstationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach. A fully integrated, one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
CyberstationUSA.com.
Terrestrial radio is basically going to be supplanted by what's happening in technology. Think about this.
We're talking about something tremendous.
This is a revolution.
This is CyberStation USA.
Welcome back in, folks. Good to have you with us. Dr. Ravi Batra is here, a supreme financial expert. He's an economics professor, was chair of the department, in fact, at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. Dr. Batra, let's turn to the point about Greece and having jobs. As I see it, they've only depended on government to drive the economy in that country. And what they need to do, maybe it's too late to do it, but what they needed to do, and maybe still could do, would be to loosen up the funds for small businesses, give tax breaks to small businesses in the private sector, because typically small businesses are where jobs are created. And I bring it up about them because that's the case with us as well, and that you could create family wage jobs and productivity if you give small businesses tax breaks to get them incentive to expand and grow their businesses. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's one thing they could do. And the other thing they could do is to bring interest rates down to the consumer. Their banks are collapsing now, but until a month ago, they were charging 25 to 30% interest rate on their credit card loans, even though they were getting money free from the ECB. So if you charge such high interest rates while you're getting money free, you are really squeezing the poor and the middle class dry. So where is consumer demand for the rest of the, in the country? And if there is not much consumer demand, businesses cannot expand their production and can't hire people. So in addition to small business loans, they need to cut interest rates sharply to the consumers. And for that, they have to create competition in the banking industry. And that's what I'm recommending should be done all over the world, including the United States, that in Greece also, these interest rate charges from the consumers are extremely high, even though banks are getting money nearly free from their, like the Federal Reserve or the Bank of Greece.
You know, and I want to make it clear to our listeners, what you're saying is incisive and profound, because while they have been getting at the Greek banks cheap money, they're charging high interest rates, at least. Not that the process is any better here, but the businesses in this country from the Fed are getting cheap money, and the consumer is getting cheap interest rates in this country. So we're not getting gouged by in this country, but the consumers in Greece are getting gouged. Is that right?
Even in this country, consumers are being gouged because on the poor and the middle class, they have to pay something like 20 to 30% interest rate to the banks, and they get money at nearly 0% from the Federal Reserve. Their borrowing costs are zero, no, close to zero, and they're charging such huge interest rates. So the result is that the poor and the middle class are being squeezed very, very heavily, and they don't have much money left to buy other things in the economy. So consumer demand is low. So if the president, for instance, in the United States were to create competition through FDIC, the FDIC has the legal authority to start its own bank, and what they do now is to take over an insolvent bank, a bank which is failing, they take it over, inject their money into it, invest money into it, and then they sell it back to another giant bank. So they invest money and the giant bank gets the profit. So what I'm suggesting is, instead of selling that bank back to the other bank, they should keep it open. The law allows them to keep it open for up to 3 years. And then they can appoint their own managers, make the bank solvent. Then that FDIC bank can also borrow money at nearly 0% from the Federal Reserve. And then all they need to then do is charge just 5% interest on their credit card loans. They can tell people, they can transfer your loan balances to us. We'll charge you 5%. And this will, I've calculated, this will save the poor and the middle class some $90 billion in interest charges alone every year. And this is like a permanent tax cut without any increase in debt or deficit.
Well, but you don't need to create an FDIC bank. My argument would be that the small community banks all over this country have been frozen by the FDIC from doing small business type loans.
Well, the trouble is that these community banks cannot really compete with these banking giants because they're extremely small.
But Dr. Batra, wait a minute now. Let me just add, I have friends in the Midwest. The patriarch of the family owned a bank, and the president owner of the bank was a guy who dealt with the farmers in this rural area of Minnesota, dealt with small business people, and obviously they would have contracts for promissory notes and repayment, but it would be with people he knew that he knew he'd get the money back, and he funded many people. I mean, I met them who were funded by this bank. One guy opened a chain of movie theaters. Another guy expanded his farm. Another guy opened a car dealership. Another guy opened a golf course. I mean, so the small banks, if the FDIC would give them the freedom, could go back into the economy and help these small businesses grow or even begin and then build a stronger economy.
Well, see, the trouble is, your point is correct. The trouble is it's a $1 trillion industry. And these small banks maybe can lend up to maybe $5 billion or $10 billion a year. But it's a $1 trillion industry, and it's totally cornered by five giant banks. And they don't compete with each other at all. They charge the same high interest rate from everywhere, from every credit card customer. And because of this lack of competition, because of their size, and community banks are small, they can't really service the entire industry. So what I'm saying is, the FDIC bank would be large enough to borrow plenty of money from the Federal Reserve, and then they could compete with all these.
Well, you're talking about a central bank owned by the government, but you know, I still think that the small banks until 2008 were doing exactly what I said, and a lot of small businesses created jobs because they had credit lines. They could put their payroll on the credit line. They could do the work they needed to do and build. And I don't care if I borrow the money from a bank that's $100 million of assets or $10 billion. If I only need $250,000 as a small business, what difference is it whether I get it from a small bank or a big bank?
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. Many of these small banks have failed and have been taken over by these giants. So those small banks are not there anymore.
That's true with some of them. Let me ask you about back to Greece. What do you make of this? That now they have a deal that the prime minister accepted, but some of the parliament does not accept it. And so where do you think it's going? And if they can't come to an agreement on that deal in the parliament, then what happens next in Greece?
Well, I think they would come to an agreement in the parliament because there's too much at stake for them. But the thing is, even if they do come to an agreement for at least 1 or 2 months, there's going to be plenty of uncertainty in Europe because other governments have to ratify the deal, and that would create a lousy economy all over the world because of the uncertainty.
Will there ever be a point, because we've had this happen with Greece over and over again, and I would assume at some point, instead of keeping putting Band-Aids on, you finally say to Greece, you're on your own, we're cutting you loose, you're no longer part of the Eurozone, don't use the Euro currency anymore, go back to using Greek currency, and we're done with you. If that happens, what happens to the rest of us?
Well, I think the Euro would drop sharply, which means American exports will go down again, and then we could be in a recession here.
So, in other words, if the Greek government winds up being thrown out of the European Union, it could have very direct damaging effects on the American economy. Am I correct?
That's right. In fact, because of that one reason why we had negative growth in the first quarter this year was that American exports had fallen sharply because of the falling euro. And if the euro falls further, then we are even in bigger trouble.
Yeah, because people need to understand, if the euro drops against the dollar, it means that people in Europe won't be able to afford to buy American goods because the dollar will have too much value.
That's right. That's right.
It would cost them more money in euros to buy an American product that used to be cheaper. Well, it's. I appreciate your time. This is a very you've simplified a complicated situation, and I think look to me there's a disease in some governments, as in Greece, called socialism. Is that a big part of this problem?
I think as a parting comment, let me just say that I have put all of these suggestions together, how to open an FDIC bank, in my latest book, End Unemployment Now, how to eliminate joblessness, debt, and poverty despite Congress.
Well, the FDIC bank would be like a government bank, right? A central bank.
Only temporarily. It creates competition for the banks, bring credit card interest rates down, and then within after 3 years it will disappear.
I appreciate it, Dr. Batra. Your expertise is appreciated. Continued success, and thank you for the being on the program tonight.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Dr. Ravi Batra, an economics professor, renowned expert in the economics field. Greece is causing problems for all of us with its diseased socialism. Thanks for listening.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem on TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
You're into the paranormal. Then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joan Watson Jones, inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room. Meet independent, up-and-coming artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years.
This is John Faddis, and I'd like to invite you to join me in the Jazz Room with Joan Watson Jones.
And yes, of course, the legends, every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., only here
on CyberStationUSA.com.
America's unique online experience.
Keep it swinging.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Hello, friends. It's me, Kendra.
And Hannah.
Listen to our show,
Chaotic Hangout,
on CyberStation USA Radio Network. Don't worry about me. Worry about your eyebrows.
Hi, we're Two Mics on the Mic, inviting you to check out the yearbook.
Every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on CyberStationUSA.com.
Every week we bring you a different year in music history.
Along with a car commercial and a movie clip, it's awesome fun.
This Saturday night, 9 p.m., only on CyberStationUSA.com. See you next year!